Welcome to the Brean Christian School, class of 2016 graduation program. Before we get started tonight, let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for many things, but we thank you most for your Son, Jesus Christ, for sending him as a perfect sacrifice to pave the way for our justification. We thank you for your word, which gives us that knowledge, which gives us blessings and gives us spiritual food. And we thank you for this nation in which we have freedom to proclaim those truths, to worship you freely, and to establish important institutions such as this school in order to carry on the truths in your word and teach them to young hearts. We thank you also for our graduate. We thank you for Katie and her diligence in these years, her application to your things and academic things, so that she has continued into a fine young woman. And so we thank you also for the speakers here today. We ask that you bless their words and bless all of us in what we hear and receive. So in all these things, we pray in your name. Amen.
Well, at this time, we have the honor of having the Fairview Heights Mayor, Mr. Mark Kupski, here. And we've invited him to give some remarks for the graduation this evening. So, Mayor Kupski, if you'd come, please, sir.
How is everybody tonight? All right, good, good. So, Katie, how are you doing tonight? It's your night, right? Literally, it's your night. All right, well, Katie, you know, I got to meet you in the hall. We'll talk to you a little bit. And your father, or the principal, asked me a few weeks ago if I could make some time to be here tonight. And I certainly said to him without hesitation, absolutely. So I'm glad to be here tonight. As he reminded me, this is the only high school we have in Fairview Heights, and we're glad to have it here in Fairview Heights. And I would say it probably will forever be the only high school in Fairview Heights, because I don't see us developing another high school. So, but Katie, it is my honor and privilege to be here with you tonight to help celebrate your graduation and from Berean Christian School. As I understand, this is the 44th year of educating students, right? All right, good. And we're all here tonight because of the commitments you've made. And we're here to celebrate your success and all the work you did to get here tonight. As I understand, you're accomplished in piano and many other things, as we talked about. And there's internationals going on coming up, right? And so we look forward to your success there. You've grown up from being a child to being a young adult, to being a young lady, to now being a graduate. So, again, we're here to honor you. At this point, you're probably looking back thinking, boy, where did time go? Or you're thinking, can't believe it's here already, right? And, you know, it's just a few years ago, it probably seems like you were just in preschool. At least that's what your parents think. And they thought you'd never get here, but now you've accomplished that goal. So we know you're accomplished many more goals in your life, too. I want to thank you for staying focused on doing the right things to complete your education. It's a hard thing to do these days. There's so many distractions for our youth and stuff. So keeping that focus and being successful and accomplished as you have been, and gaining the insight and knowledge that will benefit you during your entire Christian life. And I think that's important. I'd ask you to take time and look back and cherish the times you've had at school. They've been good times and bad times and challenging times, right? Okay, so think of each of those. Each of those are a learning experience, and they've helped you get to where you are today. Again, I congratulate you, and I want to leave you kind of with a couple of thoughts. So I think it's important to have a dream and a goal for the future. And those dreams and goals may change over time, and that's okay, because we all have things that we have wanted to do in life, and they change. I'll tell you, when I was young, did I ever think about growing up and becoming a mayor? No, it wasn't even a thought, right? One day in my life, somebody said, well, maybe you should be involved in the community. I was involved as a youth in a lot of civic groups and stuff. And one day somebody said, you should run for alderman. I go, what's that? Well, I learned. And, you know, as a mayor, it's my job to make sure that the city is doing the right things for all of our residents and people. And it's about community. And that's what I stay focused on. And so over my life, my goals have changed, too. Do I want to be a governor of Illinois? No, because they all go to jail. So we'll avoid that, okay? But, you know, I am perfectly good with being here to serve the citizens of our great community. And so never stop believing in yourself and your abilities, because you have the opportunity to make a change or make a mark on life and all of our lives, okay? So I know you're going to be successful and go on to do great things. And I look forward to following your path and career. And I know Pastor Doug will keep me updated on that. So he prays for me often, as I'm told. So, again, thank you for that. And, you know, I was looking at, I found a quote from a farmer, a president, a Christian leader, that's Harry Truman. And he said, we can never tell what is in store for us, but make the most of today and every day. So I hope your success in the future is good. Thank you for having me. Okay.
Thank you for being with us this evening. Well, tonight, we do want to give our graduate the opportunity to address all of you, and we appreciate you coming out. I first met Katie. A couple of years ago. And it's been my privilege to watch her grow and to mature. And obviously I get to see more of her than just at school. But I really have appreciated her, not as much as her mom has. But mom gets to have her at home, and she helps with the babies and helps in the house. And she's a good young lady, and we have appreciated being able to see how God has used her and raised her up. So if you would please welcome Catherine Elizabeth Root.
Thank you. And thank you, Dad. I'll pay you later for all that. All right. I'd like to welcome you all to my graduation. Thank you for coming. It means a lot to me. School has taught me so many things, but one thing it didn't teach me was how to give a graduation speech. So it might be a little rough, but bear with me. There's free cake. Okay. All right. I'd like to thank all my teachers who have had to deal with me for these past 14 years. You guys have been great, amazing. There's actually a lot of them. Mrs. Phillips, Mrs. LeBrier, Mrs. Steef, Mrs. White, Mrs. Tolman, Mrs. Miller, Mrs. Bergener, and Mrs. Anson. Some of these wonderful ladies don't work here anymore, and I'm sorry if that was because of me. Sorry about that. All right, thank you, Mrs. Phillips and Mrs. LeBrier, for teaching me my numbers, my letters sound so much more. You guys were amazing, and you just helped shape my young life. Mrs. Steef. Thank you for teaching me how to read and write, add and carry, borrow and subtract, all those things. Thank you for always taking the time to write our lessons on the board each day and draw the characters and making story time my favorite part of the day. Mrs. White, you helped me out so much in those middle years, whether it was long division and word problems, which I still don't understand, or making me memorize all of those prepositions. There's like 48, so it took me a while. Mrs. Miller, thank you for always pushing me to get my convention projects done and turned in. And by pushing, I mean she was always pushing me. I mean, sometimes it scared me to see her. She'd always ask me all the time. But you helped me succeed, and I'm so grateful for that. Mrs. Tolman, I know that she isn't here tonight because of Kendra's graduation, and she made it clear which one she'd rather be at. So, you know, but I'll forgive her for this one. She was always encouraging and always had a funny story about her childhood, and those were one of my very favorite things about school. Mrs. Bergener. thank you for always taking the time to help me in geometry and physical science every single day, because I wouldn't have been able to make it without you, I promise. It was every day. You made my last years awesome, and I knew that you would always appreciate my sarcastic comments, which happened quite often throughout the day. Mrs. Anson, you've been with me the longest, and I have no idea how you've made it. I mean, I actually don't really know how you dealt with Dad for these, you know, past 14 years. I mean, that's probably the hardest thing. I'm sorry for that. But you were amazing, and I knew I could always talk to you, whether it was school-related or family-related, or reminding you that I always was your favorite student. And I still am, right? Right? Yeah, I still am. And thank you for taking the time to do group Bible speaking with us. That was awesome. Thank you. I would like to thank Pastor Al and Dr. Tyler for taking time every week to speak to us in chapel. I've learned a lot of great things from you guys. Pastor White, thank you especially. You've taught me so much and were constantly teasing me all the time, every day. And I know you said it had to be nice to you, and I'm pretty sure that was, like, pretty nice. So if you would like to sign my diploma now, I have a pin. I know you say you wouldn't sign it unless I was nice. I'm pretty sure that was pretty nice. Do you think it was good enough? We'll see. Okay. All right. Now I'd like to thank my family, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles for always encouraging me. My brothers and sisters for always being there for me or trying to distract me from getting my work done. Example A. Both scenarios happen pretty often. My mom for being my biggest fan and told me it was okay to be bad at algebra because she would too. She was too. She always pushed me and told me I could do anything except for keep my mouth shut for 5 minutes. I love you. Thank you. I think my record was 3 minutes. Or two. Sorry. Dad. Thank you so much for paying me $1 for all those 100%. That was my favorite part. But I'm pretty sure you still owe me some money, so. Pay up. All right. Thank you for spending almost every night of my 8th grade year teaching me how to do algebra. We sat at the dining room table together every night. And if we weren't there together, I was on the phone with him, sitting at the table by myself, saying there was no way I was going to ever understand this algebra problem, and I was going to fail my next phase. Yep. Thank you for telling me I was smart enough to make a 90% on every single PACE test. And if I didn't, I had to retake it. So I did some of those paces 3 times to make a 90. Yeah. I like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Brown for being my convention parents when my mom left me in the parking lot. And for every year after that, you've dealt with me for a long time. Thank you guys so much. I'd like to especially thank Mr. Brown, who came all this way in the middle of the busiest time of year to speak at my graduation. You're the best. To my fellow classmates, school is great. I know you might not always think that. And I know you might be mad at your teachers, but they always have your best interests in mind. And just have fun with school. It is a great time in your life. Now, as for what I'm going to do after graduation, my dad says I'm not allowed to work at Chick-fil-A for the rest of my life, so might as well go to college, right? Yeah. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to major in yet, so I'm going to do some general classes at SWCC for a while until God shows me his will for my life. Thank you all again for coming and bearing with me through this speech. Like I said earlier, your reward is free cake. Thank you.
Well, we would like to welcome our speaker for this evening. Each year we do give the graduating class the opportunity to pick their speaker. And so it was a unanimous vote on this one. And I'd like to introduce to you the principal of Faith Christian School down in Chester, Illinois. I think I met Mr. Brown maybe, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, somewhere along in there, as we had the opportunity to work together at the Prairie States Regional Convention. And we had a little bit of fun.
A little bit of fun.
And enjoyed our time there together, and we became good friends. And he's had a large influence, not just on the lives of students here at Berean Christian School, but many schools throughout the Illinois and Iowa region, as he has directed the platform division there. And we appreciate all that he's done, and he's had a large influence on Katie's life, and she's appreciated that as well. So please welcome Mr. John Brown.
Wow, the 100, I'm sorry, the dollar for every 100, I felt the brunt of that from my children in the back as you said that, and I looked at Josiah and he's, what? So, if nothing else, I'll take that away from this evening. It is awesome to be here and celebrate with Katie. And you all have made time out of your schedule to say, this is what I'm doing tonight, and this is going to be an evening to honor Katie and her accomplishments. And Katie, from my wife and I to you, it has been a blast hanging out with you as your convention parents. And we will miss that. We're excited to get to do that one last time, hopefully, in just a few days. But we honor your accomplishments. And when your dad got a hold of me and said that I was, I guess, the unanimous choice, awesome, boom, to be the commencement speaker, I began to say, Lord, what would you like for me to tell Katie? And he said, well, Katie is special. Some of you can define that in your own manner. But in times like this, whether it be a charge of the new season and chapter in your life, or whether it be some great truth that perhaps you have not run across yet, the Lord just spoke to me and said, I just need you to remind Katie of things that she already knows. And I said, well, I can do that. That's doable. And so with that, I'd like to ask if anyone here is a game show junkie, or anyone here will admit into being a game show junkie. There is a network. A few game show people. The Game Show Network. There's a network that is just devoted to game shows. And so one of my favorite game shows growing up was Family Feud. And they still have the feud on. I still get to watch Family Feud. And so the question that if we were playing Family Feud tonight and the top answers were on the board and the moderator would ask this question, name the most quoted or used scriptures in church. What would your answer be? Would you buzz in quickly? Would you have to ponder? I put together my list tonight. And so number one on the board, I believe you would all agree, is John 3:16. Yes, you got it. If you can play or pass, get John 3:16. For God so loved the world. We see it on a poster board in the midst of a great sporting event. We hear it quoted quite often in the arenas in which we find ourselves. I think a close second, at least in the ACE setting, I feel like would be Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The number three is a little tricky. Because being different denominations, different churches, running with different people, number three could pose a little bit of an interesting situation. But I chose Psalm 150, verse 6. People probably don't always know that that is the reference, but they do know the verse. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I think every worship leader or song leader would be quick to say that should be on the list. And then it comes to number four. And for years growing up, I heard this scripture used in church and in school. And it went something like this, according to Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so still today, at church, someone may say, that verse just ministered to me, you know, all things work together for good. And that is the brunt of that scripture.
But there are three key words that are at the beginning of that verse that we quickly overlook. And we know. They're kind of hidden in the front of this passage that Paul is sharing in his letter to the Romans. And we know. And so God spoke to me and he said, I need you to use what Katie knows. And I just need you to remind her of these five important truths. What else do we know, Katie? First of all, a knowing is an assurance. It's a force behind a definite meaning. It is either black or white. It is not gray. Things that we know, an innermost belief, that which is not up for debate. 1 + 1 = 2. This we know. It is a fact. George Washington was the first president of the United States. A fact. Bill Root is an Alabama fan. A fact. Having a red ink pen at your desk is very bad. This is a fact. But Katie, what else do we know? So number one. And so by giving you 5 points, you know exactly where I am in my teaching. So at 4, if you know, you're yawn or you can shake your keys at me, you know, 4, 5, I'll be finished. Number one, Katie. God created you and he knows you. Now, I also am a sports fan and I am a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. It's a good thing. You forgive me for that? We can't all be perfect. No, no. And if you're a true fan, you are what you are. You don't jump ship. You are what you are. Now, there are many Dallas Cowboys that I know statistics. I can tell you ways they play, tendencies that they have. But if one of them was to walk in here tonight, I would say, honestly, I don't know them. I know of them. I can tell you a lot about them, but I don't know them. But this is the awesome thing about God. And it's awesome because it involves us all, not just Katie. God knows us. He knows us. And he created us. Psalm chapter 100 says, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. He told Jeremiah in the first chapter, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. That's exciting. When I get down or I get discouraged or I have an occasional bad day that ACE's principles might have, I am encouraged to know that God knows me and he created me. Awesome news. I don't have to wonder about a superior being. I don't have to wonder about my existence. I can know, Katie, just as you can and you have over these years, that God got excited the day that he made you. And we are limited by time and space, so we can't really fathom how things may work with God. I envision it something like this. Everyone, don't bother me just for a moment as I make something very special. And however long it took him, for us, minutes or hours, he created you. And time paused as the creator of the universe said, I'm making a masterpiece. Hand delivered to two wonderful parents here with us tonight. And they so were blessed by the experience, Katie, that they decided to do it again. And again. And again. Get a TV. However that took place, Katie, it was a special time in God's life. It was a special time to him. And it's been a special time for us, as now, years later, we get to experience this awesome evening and all that you've been able to accomplish as this chapter closes and another one will open. Number two, God has great plans for you. Even if you don't know what they are, whether they be college or career, staying here or moving away. The good news is God's got it and he knows. Now, I know the ultimate thought is, I wish he'd tell me. And he will. And he will. Something that would have been on the board, I think, would have been Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. When I was in the fifth grade, I was able to receive a gift that I think every boy needs. And this is just my personal opinion. You can disagree with me if you like. I did not have a dog. And when I was in the fifth grade, my father said, John, I think it's time. I want to get you a dog. And I celebrated because I had hoped for years that he would say this, but for various reasons, we weren't able to get a dog. And so things worked out with our pastor that his granddaughter received a dog and they just couldn't facilitate the dog in different avenues. And so they were looking for a home and he said, we're going to go get a dog. And I said, well, that's awesome. And he said, don't you want to know what kind of dog it is? And I said, sure, that'd be great. And he said, it was a border collie. And I said, oh, that's just awesome. This is the kind of dog that I want. And I didn't really know what a border collie was. It didn't really matter because I was going to get a dog. And we went to get him, and I said, Dad, is he already named? And they said, yeah, they named him. And I said, well, what did they name him? And he said, his name's Charlie. And I said, Dad, I know just what I'll call him. I'll call him Charlie Brown. Oh, it just rang from my lips as I could envision Charlie Brown coming to live at our house. I seen in my mind Charlie and I running through our backyard. I seen myself grabbing Charlie and falling down and rolling and rolling and rolling, and he would lick me in the face. It would be splendid. So, take that picture. Because it was real. I went to get Charlie and my life changed and he became my best friend. I loved him dearly. He was excited every time I came home. Every time. I could have went to the neighbor's house. When I come back, he was excited. And he would run up to me and he would stop right at my feet and he would roll over. And he would say, with his eyes, I missed you. Here's the picture that I have of God the Father. Katie, you can spend some time with me? This is so awesome. I've been waiting for you. It seems like an eternity. This is so cool. I just want to be with you. I just want to share a moment with you together. Of all the people in the world, you're the apple of my eye. And I just am so super pumped about being with you. God says, I have great plans for you. And I'm so excited that you're seeking me. I'm so excited that you want to know what those plans are. I love you so much. I am so excited of the greatness that you have in store. Because if you want to know the book that I have, there are great plans for you. Number three. Katie, from the time that you can remember, as far back as you can go, your parents have encouraged you to make good choices. And that's because it didn't originate with them. It originated with the Father. He wants us to make good choices. And he wants you to continue to make good choices. As I said before, this chapter is closing. A whole new season for you. Every part of your life is just that. It is just a season. I'm going to be in school forever. No, It's just a season. I'm going to be at this job forever. No, it's just a season. I'm going to live in my parents' basement forever. No. Bill, Aaron, hopefully. I'm here to encourage you tonight. It's just a season. Whatever the choice is, Katie, whether it be in your words, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whether it be in your thoughts, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whether it be in your actions. Whether it be in the friends that you surround yourself. 1 Corinthians 15:33 encourages us all to not be deceived, because evil communication can corrupt good manners. Someone that you know, that I know, that some of these people know and most of these people don't, is Pastor Paul Phillips from Lighthouse Academy in Iowa. And he is someone that I look to as a mentor. I asked him one time, I said, Pastor Paul, as I look at the ministry and all that you've been able to do here in Iowa, what do you attribute your success? Now, the obvious answer there is Jesus. But he knew I wanted something more specific. And so he said this: I've always made every attempt to surround myself with good, godly people. That stuck with me. Can God make you a success without that? He can. But I think he desires for you to make wise choices in words and thoughts and actions, but also in your friends. The choice that he gives us in his word, according to Deuteronomy 30, is I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he leans even closer in and he says, choose life. Choose life. He gives us the answer for this test. Gee, what should I do? Do the next wrong thing? God says, do the next right thing. Choose life. Joshua 24:15 says that Joshua stood up in the midst of controversy and debate, and he drew a line in the sand and he said, I can't answer for you, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Matthew 7:24, Jesus gives us a story of a wise man who builds his house on a rock and a foolish man who does not. And then he says, be wise. The choices that you make affect you, yes. But they affect the people that are here. We are here because we desire success for Katie. We're rooting her on. If she fails, we're not happy. We want good choices to turn into success. Number three, God desires for you to make good choices. Number four, God implores you to be an atmosphere changer. Now, let me say this with a little dot, 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 Katie. I believe already that you are an atmosphere changer. Okay? It's hard for Katie to be in a room and she not change the atmosphere. Most of you would agree to that. And I think most would say it's for the good. Hopefully you would say that. To be able to say with all of your heart, Katie, that Matthew 5:16 was your goal. To let your light shine. And you have a beautiful light. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be challenged to put it out there to a lost and dying world. Wherever God places you, he's imploring you. If a rush of water came into this facility tonight and all of you began to experience moisture on your feet, I would watch and hope that you would have some common sense to make a change in your atmosphere, to make a change where you are. I, as a caring individual, hopefully would say, come up here. It's elevated up here. There's safety up here. There's dryness up here. There's comfort up here. And with my hand, I would begin one by one to bring you up here. I would implore you not to stay where you are, but to come up on dry land. Katie, God's imploring you. Be an atmosphere changer. Come up on higher ground with me and change every place that you find yourself. Change the atmosphere. Number five, the one you've all been waiting for. Katie, be reminded that the world that you've lived in has been, to some extent, safe, guarded, sheltered. There's a new world that you'll meet. One of the toughest things that you're going to be commanded to do is what Jesus said in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God, everything that's in you. And we may say that that is a little easier because of the way that you were raised and the places you found yourself. But he quickly said this, the second commandment is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Katie, as a middle-aged adult, one of the toughest things to do is in the flesh. In fact, it's impossible. Love others. Because they get on your nerves. Because they don't agree with you. Because they want to say things about you that hurt you. And Jesus said this, yes, love me, but love others. We're in a very interesting time of toleration. We're to tolerate and accept. Don't confuse the love that Jesus commands us to have for others with total acceptance of everything that happens. You can love them. Jesus did. He openly disagreed with some of the things that the Pharisees and religious leaders were doing. He still loved them. And that always came forth. And so, Katie, of the 5 points, I desire number 5 for you the most. That you would love others so much so that you would become transparent and that people would see Jesus, the Jesus in you. I want to pray for Katie. You guys join with me. Father, we just thank you tonight for this great opportunity to celebrate this wonderful, wonderful accomplishment, high school graduation. And not only where Katie is, Lord, academically, more importantly, where she is spiritually. And we're reminded of the great plans that you have for her. We speak life and health and wisdom on her. And we thank you for this opportunity just to celebrate with her. We look forward to the great success that you have planned for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, at this time, we have come to the highlight of the evening, the presentation of the diploma. So if I can get Mr. Tim Bergener, the chairman of our school board, and Pastor White, the director of our school, we will present the diploma. Graduating this year from Berean Christian School, year 2016, Catherine Elizabeth Root. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Berean Christian School Class of 2016.
Congratulations, Katie. We'd like to have a blessing for you just now. We offer the benediction. That does not mean close the night. Bene is for the word for good. Diction is the word for word. We want to say a good word for you tonight. So let's look to the Lord in prayer just now. Father, we are so grateful to you. What an awesome God you are. Thank you for knitting us in the wombs of our mothers, bringing us into this world, giving us life, and then giving us everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you so much for the constant provision you've made for us day in, day out. Thank you for the healings you've given to us, the different times in which you spared us and saved us from things which could have destroyed us. Thank you for your intervention in our life. Now, Father, especially we thank you for Katie tonight. Thank you so much for giving her life, giving her everlasting life, for giving her the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father, these things that belong to her because of Jesus Christ, not because of anything she has done. Thank you that your love for her is steadfast and sure, and it will never, ever change. Thank you that nothing will ever separate her from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And now, Lord, we ask that as you continue her life just now, as she commences on with things that you have for her in the future, grant her wisdom and understanding that she may grasp what things you have for her, that she may understand the things which are right and distinguish them from the things which are not, and the things which are holy from the things which are profane. Help her make good life choices, Father, and bless her with the constant Spirit of God guiding her in everything she does. I ask that you give her the wisdom to not only make good choices, but to understand things and understand how they go together. I ask you to bless her, Father, with good discernment and great fruitfulness, Father. Bless her with your smile. Bless her with your countenance. Bless her, Father, with looking at her and guiding her with your eye. Keep her in this straight path, Father, and give her only as much trouble as necessary to cause her to depend upon you and know you even greater. And then fill her with joy every day of her life. Thank you for what you're going to do in her life, Father. And we'll give you the praise for that just now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We are congratulating you, and then it's dismissal to the activity center. All right, you are dismissed to the activity center. If you don't know where that is, just head down the hall and follow the crowd. And that's where everybody else is going. God bless you.